We're beginning Matthew's this morning, chapter 12. This is a day, Mother's Day, that we think about relationships, whether it be a good one or a bad one. We start thinking about relationships. We have to understand that these holidays were all created for commercialism and to bring money into the stores. We understand that, right? We're not so naive that we don't believe that the purpose behind these celebrations, whether it be Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, whatever, it's so that we can relieve our guilt, so that we're not treating folks the way we should treat them all year long. And so we go buy them something, it relieves our guilt so that we don't feel so bad about not being a good son, or whatever. So again, understand why this was set up. And God said in his word that, you know, he worries about us when we celebrate days and seasons and things. He says he worries about that when we're not consistent from day to day to day. Okay, so we're gonna kind of look at this a little bit. It's kind of neat how this comes out, because I want to look at all the accounts of the gospel in this. But also I want to look at before Jesus comes out with these expounded words about his family, what Jesus thought about his family and what he thinks about family. It may not be what you think he thinks about family. It may be totally different according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, it says, and this is in 38, it said, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to you but the sign of Jonah the prophet." So what did Jonah do? Jonah went to Nineveh after he had been corrected by God, right? He didn't go when God first told him to. But God said, "I'm using you, and I'm going to let him. Great fish swallow you up. You'll spend 3 days in the belly of this great fish, and then I'm going to spit you out." And then I think he got Jonah's attention, didn't he? Huh? Wonder what God has to do to get our attention. I'm just curious, just throwing that out there. But that sign was the fact that a prophet came and said, "I've got a word from God. You're a sinful people, and you need to repent. God's going to destroy you." That same sign as when Jesus came. He preached the repentance of people, that you must repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then when he went to be with the Father, he gave that same command to the disciples to baptize them, name the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all the things that God commands. So basically teaching them to repent, because God's commandments are about repentance. God's commandments are about returning from sin, and he wrote them very plainly so that we would know what we are and who we are. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea of the monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So again, Jesus basically came with the same signs for us today. God sent a sign for us. We wanted a sign, we got one. Jesus Christ was that sign. There's not going to be another sign. There's not going to be another word. And God used the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures so that the scriptures would be revealing to us what he was teaching man. And that's why he left this, and that's why he has preserved this. And, of course, men's trying to change what it means. But here's the fact that God sent his son. This is how dogmatic God is about this, and how lackadaisically we take it. "The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." He was talking about himself. He was talking about the redemption of God to mankind, not first to the nation of Israel, and then God grafts us in. He says, what God's doing now is much greater than what he did in Nineveh. And they repented. What are we doing? Our world's not repenting. What our world doing is lip service to Jesus Christ. But there's no repentance in that lip service. It's easy to say, oh, this Jesus and that Jesus and do this for Jesus and sacrifice for Jesus and pray to Jesus. And nowhere in here can I say that I see pray to Jesus. Have y'all noticed that? Because I guess I've missed it. I've kind of read through the scriptures several times in my life, and I have never, ever, ever read pray to Mary or pray to Jesus. Have y'all? Then why are we doing that? If it's not in scripture, why are we doing things contrary to what's in scripture? He doesn't say pray to Jesus. He says pray to God through Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus was the one that taught the disciples how to pray. And yet we don't take the instruction of the scriptures for what they were intended. Instead, we make our own Jesus. We make our own God. Because, by George, if I can create my own God and my own Jesus, we're going to get along a whole lot better. This is about repentance. This is about sin. It's always been about sin. God was angry with sin. He reached a point to the point where he said, I'm going to talk to him one last time. I'm going to give him one last sign. And then in Romans, he says, you know what? I'm done. In Romans, it says he gives us over to a reprobate mind. Go do what you want to do. God says, I am fed up. Just go do whatever you want to do. I've given the sign, and if you don't adhere to the warnings and the sign of me sending my son, Jesus Christ, there's going to be a perishing. And we don't teach that or preach that anymore. Because we've gone so far from what Scripture really says. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then he says, well, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Very disturbing piece of scripture here. You can become a disciple. You can try to get things in order. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't take up residence, then it says that the evil spirits can come in and they'll bring some help. And the state of that man is worse. So when you play with religion, when you play with God, when you make deals with God, it's a very, very serious place to be. And it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. This is the way that will be with this evil generation. So when we're not repenting, you see, and God gives us over to the reprobate mind, then the evil is much worse than it began, than what it was. Folks, religion's not working. Can you not look around and see that religion is not working? And yet, what do we cling on to? Our denominations, things taught by man instead of things that are taught by God. So here's the amazing part. While he was still speaking, because Jesus always teaching something, okay? This is the teaching of Christ. This is the teaching of God. While he was still speaking, the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Let's respect that, right? After all, they're family. Side note, just because you're related don't mean you have a relationship. That's why it says a true friend sticks closer than a brother. See, we are so arrogant in our being related to one another that we have no thought about respect for feelings. We just say what's on our mind because they're related. We can say what we want to say. We can criticize how they raise their kids in front of them. Folks, if they don't ask you, keep your mouth shut. I don't know how more blunt to be about this. If you want to have a relationship with your kids and you want to have a relationship with your brother and sister and your mother and your father, keep your stinking mouth shut. If they don't ask you, then keep your mouth shut. We have too many families that get together for Mother's Day and Christmas and Easter, and then they walk away not speaking to one another or mad because somebody says something that you got no business to say. Here's what Jesus thinks about it all. But Jesus answered the one who's telling him and said, "Who's my mother and who's my brothers?" Whoa, wait a minute. And stretching out his hand toward the disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." See, he wasn't looking at that physical relationship. He was looking at the spiritual relationship. And if you want your physical relationship to be good, then that spiritual relationship better be correct. Because it's only through the agape love that God gives us as a gift with the Holy Spirit that allows us to endure the ignorance of our relatives and ourselves and the rudeness. And without that, then we part our ways. But who's his family? Who's the true family? Jesus says, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he's my brother and my sisters and my mother." Jesus has taken humanity one step further. We put so much respect and influence and things on this physical relationship, more so than even the spiritual relationship with Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you'll never have that perfect relationship with those that are around you without becoming related to God. And how do you become related to someone? How is your brother related to you and your sister and your mother? How are y'all related to one another? By birth. By birth. So guess how you're related to God? He talks about a new birth. He says you got to be born again. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? Those are my true relatives. But yet, it wasn't the fact that they were just born. They were what? Obedient. Didn't say to do the will of the Father. So how important is this? Look at Mark 3:22-35. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and he casts out the demons by the ruler of the demons." And he called them to himself, and he began speaking them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? You see, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. These are incredible truths that Jesus tried to teach. In your home, if you're divided, it will not stand. That's why God says not to become unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does God have to do with Baal? You see, we can be friendly to the world, but we can't be friends of the world. Some who's of the world cannot be our best friend. Or you made yourself an enemy of God. That's why you can't have two denominations in the same house. Matter of fact, you shouldn't even have a denomination in the house. It should be, thus saith the Lord, Almighty God. You know, what does it do when a child comes up and says, and the mama says, you got to be baptized to be saved? Huh? And daddy comes over and says, well, you can lose your salvation anytime you do something bad. And then another parent comes over and says, well, when you die, we'll pray for you to get you out of purgatory. You can't stand that child, you can't stand. Huh? If you got two different political views, there's going to be turmoil in that house. You can't, oh, well, we'll just, you know. And this is what Jesus, he's warning us. That a kingdom divided against itself cannot fall. And this is what they've done to the country, the America. If they have divided us into so many different divisions. You got Republicans against Democrats. You got the blacks against the whites. And even within the whites, you got whites against white. And you got black against black. And you got Democrats against Democrats. You got Republicans against Republicans. So they even divide us even further. And we're supposed to be the United States of America? Well, what have we done in our churches? We have the Methodists over here. We have the Protestants over here. We have the Catholics over here. We have the Pentecostals over here. We have the Buddhists over here. We have the Jehovah's Witness over here. We have the Mormons over here. Cannot stand. Religion will not stand. It will fall. And he's warning us this. He's warning us about this, that religion is going to fail. Guess what? It has failed. You know, when you stand before him, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It doesn't matter how much you know him or about him. And that's what the problem is that we've allowed the world to know about him and then say that's restitution and redemption. Just because I know and because I believe. But my belief never leads to the new birth experience. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds a strong man and then he will plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness but is guilty of an eternal sin. Some theologians say that that's a sin that can't be reduplicated. I've read that, yeah. There's some of these guys that's gone to college that know a whole lot more about God than I do, supposedly. And they say that one can't, no. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not believing in God and who he says he is, and that redemption is the work of God, not some prayer that you say. Not some belief you have. But it's God working in your life. He says, I am your workmanship for my good pleasure. To do my good works that were predestined beforehand. Anything other than that, knowing that it's God that does it and you bring nothing to the table. See, they were trying to say that Jesus Christ had an evil spirit in him, so they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They were claiming his power that God had given him, and the holiness of God was coming from Satan. Be really careful how you handle the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, he's not going to flop you around up on the stage up here, okay? That is not the Holy Spirit flopping people around that you see on TV. Slain in the Spirit. Holy Spirit is very direct. The Holy Spirit is very concise. The Holy Spirit only does what God tells him to do. And his purpose is to convict the world of their sins, not flop somebody around up here. Okay? See, we grab into so many different religions because we're looking for that one that we like. That's why people flock to different churches. It doesn't matter what they're taught. It's matter, does it resound to what I like? Are they singing the songs that I like? Do they have programs for my kids? See, that's what they look for instead of what's preached from the Word of God. They don't even know because they never pick their scriptures up during the week. They never spend any time with Him, and yet they say they know Him. How can you know someone when you don't spend any time with them? But there's going to be, that's the unforgivable sin. That sin will never be forgiven to someone that commits that sin. Doesn't matter what leaf they turn over. Because they're saying he had an unclean spirit. Then his mother, this is, and when I read, I'm doing this beforehand because this, he's being interrupted. And you and I are, we can't wait to answer that phone when mama calls. Or our sister or our child will interrupt anything. Doesn't matter how important it is. This is important. Your mama's out there. Your brother's out there. Quit teaching what God says. And Jesus says, You don't understand. You don't understand anything about God. You don't understand anything about relationships. Nothing comes before God is what he's teaching us here. Who are my mother and my brothers? Rhetorical question, I'm sure, because it's pretty obvious that was his mother and brothers. Looking about at those who were sitting around, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. Forever who does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Okay? So God takes that relationship one step further, that you understand that no relationship that he gives you is more important than the one that he wants you to have. See, they were expecting him just to stop everything and run out there to his mama. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. So why is what we're doing with our families more important than the worship of Holy God? Luke 8, 16 to 21. No one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container and puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known that comes to the light. That's also why no one wants to read scripture, because what you're doing is going to come to light. We've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Your sin's going to come to light. So let's read devotional books where no sin is mentioned. And we're all going to heaven, so let's just keep reading our devotional books and our devotional pamphlets and say that's our relationship with God, because we're all going to heaven. Not all mamas in heaven. Okay, love, man, every mama's in heaven. And they're telling them that their mama's in heaven. Religion allows us to put people into heaven, and they may not be there. All mamas don't go to heaven, just like all dogs don't go to heaven. You seen that movie? All dogs go to heaven. Well, all mamas don't go to heaven. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks shall be taken away. A lot of people with religion think they have something and they don't. It's not what you think you have, it's what you know you have. And if his spirit doesn't bear witness to your spirit that you're a child of God, you're not. And if the fruits of spirit aren't growing in you year after year after day, then you're useless to him. And his mother and brothers came in, and they weren't able to get to him because of the crowd. It was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. Well, you just better run over there and get them. Nope. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. You have ears, but you can't hear. You have eyes, but you can't see. God has to reveal it to you. If a man reveals it to you, you have religion. If God reveals it to you, you have the possibility of a relationship. Real quick. This Jesus is a little bit different Jesus, according to Scripture, than what the world's telling you. Jesus says, I've come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. We're never going to read, you're never going to hear this in too many places or any self-help books or any of the Bible studies that you go to. They won't pick these passages of scriptures to talk about because they don't want you to really know who God is, because we got to somehow sell Jesus. We got to somehow, this is like a vacuum cleaner. Well, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't work. It's never going to clean your house. Matter of fact, it's probably going to make it more dirty. You want this vacuum cleaner? Well, here's a Jesus going, he wishes the earth was already burned up. He didn't want to be here. I have come to cast fire on earth, and how I wish is already kindled, but I have a baptism to go, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. We've made the life of Jesus some party. It was about dealing with sin. And he'll be coming, the unblemished Lamb of God, so that you and I might be able to be redeemed back to him. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? I tell you no, rather division. Wow. From now on, five members of one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided father against son, sons against father, mothers against daughters, daughters against mother, mother-in-laws against daughter-in-laws, daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws. That's not the Jesus you're hearing on K-Love. That's not the Jesus you're hearing in most of the churches this morning. And he was so saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising to the west, immediately you say a shower's coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it's a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to analyze the present time. They didn't know who Jesus was because he wasn't revealed to them. And this world today, we don't know who Jesus is. We have so covered him up with so much religious and so much garbage that this world thinks Jesus is going to do this and Jesus is going to do that. Jesus already did what he was going to do. He's not doing anything else. And we can't even understand the present time. It's a time of apathy. It's a time where people don't care about anything. And so we create more religion. We come up with all these great ideas. We have a godly form. It's devoid of the Spirit.